So, are you able to do the show this week? You don't sound very good.
No, I'm not very good.
You sound
I don't feel very well. But as I've only got to lean out of my bed towards the microphone and do it, let's just crack on, shall we?
Okay, right. Well, are you comfortable?
Yeah, just introduce the f***ing show and let's get on with it.
30 seconds in. All right, okay. This is the James Whale Radio Show with me, Robbo, and the ill James Whale.
Thank you very much indeed. That's very good. Now, welcome to the program. This will probably be one of the worst ones we've done. Actually, in a bunch of fairly appalling programs, that probably has quite a lot to say for it, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, it's up there with the rest of them.
Yeah. So what a week this has been. What a fabulous, fabulous week. Before I talk about some of the things I wanted to talk, some of the serious issues, I'm going to open the show with another dig at religion. Muslims, Christians, flipping X sake, guys, come on. We live in a world which is getting smaller and all you do is moan and groan. Not all of you. I appreciate it. There are some very nice Muslims and Christians and other things around. But, you know, when I see some of the disgusting behaviour in countries like Iran, and various African nations where homosexuality is treated appallingly under the name of their stupid religions, I begin to despair for this planet. And then when I see the little video that I put out on Twitter this week of a young girl, 13 years old, in Utah, in America, she's a Mormon, like most of them in Utah are. I'm not sure whether I should feel sorry for her or not, but, you know, that's the way she's been brought up. Some might even say that's child abuse, inflicting a religion on a child before they are old enough to know what that means. But this very intelligent, very articulate young girl stood up in front of her church on the days when they have to testify and tell people their innermost thoughts and things about them. She started to say that she was gay, that she knew God loved her because God loves all his creations. Not sure whether God's a man anyway. And they just cut her microphone off. Weren't even prepared to hear what she had to say. And, you know, then there's a religious freak in Brazil who happens to be a judge who overturns a court order on this psychologist, who also happens to be a Christian in Brazil. He overturns the court order against her practicing a cure for homosexuality, so she can go off and pretend to cure people because of their sexuality. I'm sick of it. With the problems in the world, I suppose it is a small thing unless you happen to be gay. I'm not gay, but I know a lot of people who are gay. Some people even think you can catch it. If you could catch it, I'd be gay. But, you know, it's religion that does this. I'm not talking about starting the wars, by the way, at the moment. I'm talking about this vile prejudice by people in the two main religions. Lots of homophobes everywhere else, but people in the two main religions who feel that it is within their right to say things that, you know, in this country, it would be illegal if you didn't say, oh, it's my religion. What sort of God, what sort of super being would actually be bothered, really, about people's sexuality? So I just want to say, you know, if you're a Christian or if you're a Muslim, look inside your souls, if you can, and just think about the hate and the depression and the helplessness that you are spreading amongst some people because of your ridiculously stupid doctrines. If you want to privately have those views, fine, but please don't express them. Because one day, if you're right and there is a God, and if this God is going to revisit this planet at some time, I think I think people who hold the sort of views that would drive them to cut the microphone of a young girl who was saying how she felt to people who should have been more understanding, I think those people will be in for a big surprise. And those people who take other human beings out and stone them to death or hang them, as happens in some countries, you should be ashamed of yourselves. You should actually be ashamed of yourselves. And if those, by the way, if those countries happen to be, and some of them are, part of the British Commonwealth, they should be kicked out immediately. But there we are. Right, I feel better for that, Rob. I've got that off my chest now. I just thought that that video, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter, it was just the most appalling thing to see a young girl being treated in that way, or a young human being being treated in that way.
Yeah, I did. I saw it on your Facebook page the other night. I think it's disgusting the way that that girl was treated.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, where should we go from here? I suppose one of the things that it's kind of it's out of time now, but I was quite interested in whether or not Theresa May was going to have the dangly bits to sack Boris. And I asked on Facebook, Irene Evans says, he should stay. People don't like you speaking the truth. Good on you, Boris. I don't think Boris actually knows what the truth is, Irene. I think Boris is concerned with Boris. That's my feeling. Philip Rowland says, no, she needs to stay on track for delivering a true Brexit. It's never going to happen, Philip. I'm afraid, mate. Dave Benjamin, the country loves Boris. No, it doesn't. Some people love Boris. A lot of people think he's a buffoon. Not as a politician, but as a figure of fun. Yeah, you're right there, Dave. He must stay to cheer us up. Who else we got here? Keith Johnson says, anybody who thinks Boris is a buffoon has fallen right into his trap. He plays the buffoon, but has an incisive intellect that can be quite dangerous, and his plain speaking provides great entertainment for the rest of us. Keith, you're very right in what you say. But he can never be, surely, the leader of this country. Is Boris going to be our prime minister? Do people actually want Boris to be our prime minister? He is, amongst some of the civil servants that I've spoken to, quite annoying, apparently, and that some of his faux pas as foreign secretary have caused quite a few problems, but I don't suppose we'll ever really find out. So we did ask, is he your next prime minister? Alan Bell said he's as thick and idiotic and dangerous as Trump. Well, Alan, no, he's not. And you should not underestimate Mr. Boris Johnson. Paul Evans says, definitely he is a smart cookie. He is a better choice than Ramona Corbyn. You've got to get over this, Paul. You're not going to get the Brexit you want. It isn't going to happen. Mick, as you will hear fairly soon, Mick Gallagher, God help Britain if Boris the buffoon Johnson is the next prime minister. God help us all. Wesley Magugan says he could quite possibly be the next prime minister. Liz Savage says, please no. Arthur Sutherland, not my PM, not ever, not Rees-Mogg either. Corbyn is the man. Oh, come on. Come on. I mean, if Corbyn was the Prime Minister, we'd all be going back in time. David Booth, if it's a choice of either Rees-Mogg or Boris against Corbyn, we are going to have a worse situation at the next election than we had at the last one. In fact, things would be so bad, Corbyn would probably get in this time. And not a good outlook either way, to be honest. British politics has definitely reached its lowest ever ebb. David Booth, I'm right with you, my friend. If a country like America could only offer up Trump and, what's her name, Clinton, and we can only offer up Boris, Theresa May or Corbyn, I mean, where are the real people who should be in politics? Why isn't there anybody there? I agree. I think it's a real problem. Gary Flockton wants me to be Prime Minister. Gary, I'd love to do it for you, but I see myself more as a benevolent dictator. Because I don't think I could really. I have no diplomacy. And if, you know, if they were all moaning in the cabinet like they are now, I'd have to bring out a big stick, hit the table very hard and say, right, you can all sod off. I will decide what we're going to do. You just piss off back to your constituencies. And I don't think they'd be very happy with that. Jack Mason says James Whale has turned into a socialist since he was on Talk Sport. Don't be ridiculous. Some of you don't even understand the dangers of socialism and the dangers of the sort of rather pathetic politicians we have at the moment. The whole thing about Brexit has been driven by a bunch of xenophobic idiots or people who think that they will make a little better deal for themselves. We could control our borders better now if we put more money into our armed forces, which are sadly depleted, not something the socialists want to do. If we wanted to stop people coming into this country, if we wanted to pass other laws, if we wanted to make Britain a more restrictive place, we could actually do it in many ways. If we wanted to reform the European Union, we could have been far tougher on them, like Margaret Thatcher, probably the greatest politician in the last 100 years. Better, I would say, even than Churchill. Churchill was good during the war, but in peacetime he was a bit of a dead loss. Thatcher stood up to socialism, which I don't believe in at all. In fact, moving on from socialism, let's talk about the bin strike in Birmingham. The people in Birmingham have not had their bins cleared now for months. The socialist government in Birmingham has not been showing itself in a very good light. The leader has quit because he was useless. The Unite Union think they're very tough. What it needs is somebody in Birmingham to say to the union, you either get your guys back to work and clear that up because it is a health hazard and people have got rubbish piling up higher than a man or a woman on the corner of roads in Birmingham. It's disgusting. It's infested with lice and rat droppings. It is a health hazard. And if it was me, I'd sack them. And I don't give a flying. Look, if we've got legislation in place that you can't sack people for not doing jobs that are important, that actually lead to the injury or to the infection of the rest of us, if we can't sack people who are putting our lives and our lives at risk and our lives in misery, then we need to look at that again. But when a union turns round and says, our members are not doing this and we're not doing that, sack them. Sack them. Employ other people to go and pick up the rubbish. You've got a socialist local authority in Birmingham city centre that are useless. Look at it, useless. You know, there are unemployed kids in this country who are moaning they can't get a job. Get them in Birmingham, get them picking up the rubbish. All right? And do it now. Who was that who called me a socialist? Jack Mason. Do one. So there are my thoughts, Robbo. And seeing that I wasn't very well, I think I've just spoken for about 20 minutes, uninterrupted by you. No help as usual. No flipping help.
Let's do some music then.
Okay.
Because then that'll save your voice a bit, won't it?
Yeah, okay. Velvet Volume, this is Terry sent this in. Hello, Terry. And Terry sends in music all the time, and if you want to have some music played on the show, Rob will tell you how to get it played.
Yeah, just email me, jameswellradio@gmail.com. Include the MP3 permission to play, and we'll play it out even if it's bad.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is a bit punky. Raw punk, apparently, from the Danish rock sisters, Velvet Volume. So let's tip the velvet with Look, Look, Look.
Why?
There we are. It's released on the 6th of October. If that floats your boat, you might like to go and have a look at that. I'm sure you can find it on iTunes and all that sort of stuff, can't you?
I'm sure if you just Google Velvet Volume.
Yeah, yeah. I used to love Velvet Underground. You don't remember it, do you?
Yeah, that's in the 60s. That's way before my time.
I've not mentioned my new radio show on Talk Radio, have I yet?
No, not at all.
No, you never mentioned it. No, we've been doing quite a lot of... You know, I've been training up Ricky Norwood, who was in the Big Brother house with me, to take over as my co-host. Because Ash keeps having holidays.
Has he agreed to the 80% commission yet?
He doesn't know about that yet.
Oh, okay.
But he will. But, you know, it's quite, we did a couple of videos which went quite well, didn't they?
Yeah, I like the Star Wars one best, of course. That's done quite well.
Yeah, have they contacted yet to see whether or not I'm available for the new movie?
Episode 9 it'll be now.
Yeah.
No, not yet. Not yet. Although, we do know the right people. We know Warwick Davis.
Actually, yes, we should call up Warwick and get him on again.
Yeah, we could do that.
Let's get him on the show, and I could act out a couple of scenes with him. I mean, if people would like, it's still up the video on the Facebook page, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the Facebook page. I think it's on the tweeted
or
it out
my
as
website.
Well. Yeah, the website yeah. Tweeted it out. It's everywhere.
Yeah, so go and have a look. I mean, unfortunately, Jerry Hayes, a former MP, and used to appear on my TV show, but. Excuse me. We couldn't get anybody else at the time. So go and see. And if you think there is a chance, perhaps you get in touch with what's his name who does the does Star Wars?
Oh, my mate JJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get in touch with him. I thought it was somebody else.
No, they've got rid of him and they're getting JJ back to do the new one.
Are they?
Yeah.
And you know him, don't you, personally?
J.J. Abrams, yeah, he's a good pal, yeah.
Yeah, oh, well, I've got the part, obviously. So, yeah, have a look at that. My new radio show on Talk Radio, but I won't be there tonight. I don't feel very well. I forgot what I was talking about.
It doesn't matter. We were talking about Star Wars, because I found the clip of you and Jerry Hayes fighting with lightsabers, and if I remember rightly, that was taken from the show with Kenny Baker, who played R2-D2.
Oh, right, okay. And that's still up there on our website too, isn't it?
Yeah, I put that up the other night. It was one of your the James Well Show with Mike Mansfield.
Yeah. We did quite a few sort of movie things because he knew quite a lot of movie people. That's up on our new YouTube channel, isn't it? Or hasn't that launched yet?
The YouTube channel launched about 4 years ago.
Did it really? I thought we had a new one.
No, it's been, you know, modernised with lots of new video clips, etc., and TV shows.
Okay.
It's not new.
I think I should do some introductions as well.
We need to... We're doing Whaley Goes to Town soon, so that's...
Yeah,
that's,
we're bringing that back.
That should be good.
Anybody got any ideas where I should go and do it, let me know.
Well, into town would be a start.
Well, yeah. But there are towns everywhere. Right, okay. I forgot what we're doing. We got any on the Whaley's phone box this week?
No Whaley phone box this week.
Oh, what's going on, guys? Just when I need somebody. Listen, if you ring this number, I'll give it to you now. Don't lose it. And if you ring this number, then you can leave a message and we can put it on the show. Some of them are very funny. Some of them are very rude, but we usually use them because you can't get much worse, can you? 0117-230-1771. Repeat the number, Rob.
0117-230-1771.
Why do you do it in a piss-taking voice?
I don't know, but can I also let the people know? You know, when you phone that number, don't just hang up, because that's what's happening. A lot of people are just phoning it and hanging up. Because we used to have a recorded message from James himself, but then Skype, I'll just beat myself out, beep, decided that they're going to get rid of personal recorded messages and replace it with some stupid woman saying, leave a message after tone, thank you. Just leave a message after the tone. It is us. We will get the message and we will put it out on the show.
Can't I record another message and can't we get rid of the stupid cow and put mine in?
No.
Can I not talk to the bosses at Skype and give them a real bollocking?
Do you want me to phone my mate Bill? He doesn't work there anymore, but he might have a word with the people that do.
Yeah, I do. Why couldn't we just have a phone number which goes somewhere and people can record stuff?
If this carries on, I'm going to go to BT, get a new phone number, and I'm going to get an old analogue cassette-played old-style answering machine.
That's all we need, man. That's all we need.
Yeah. Go retro.
I think... Yeah, go retro. That's a good idea. Listen, I have a problem at the moment. I think Facebook, Twitter, all the other social media outlets, and things like FaceTime and Skype and everything else are great, fabulous, really good. But I think the people who run them, who suddenly found themselves thrust into the multi-millionaire bracket and top-flight businessmen, are beginning to take the piss a little bit, aren't they?
Just a little, yeah.
And I think they need to cool it because, you know, you might be ruling the roost at the moment, but it's not going to be long before loads of other Facebooks and Twitters come along.
Well, I don't know about Facebook and Twitter, though. That's going to be hard to replace.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, in that case, you have a monopoly.
Yeah, that's not allowed.
Yeah, but they have one.
Hmm. You're not allowed to do that, though, are you? You're not allowed to have
no.
a monopoly.
And so why would the organisers of Skype suddenly decide they're given a phone number and you can do a Skype call or whatever, but they're going to put a stupid answer on and you can't put your own on? Why would you do that?
What's worse is we're paying for it.
Why are we paying for it?
You have to pay for the privilege of being on Skype these days.
Yeah, gosh. We need to get some more advertising on this, you know. We won't be able to keep this going much longer. The costs are going up and up and up. I must thank people. We do get donations to keep the programme going, which is very nice. Thank you very much. But packets of Jelly Tots and Mars bars are, well, you can't live on... Well, I don't know. You can live on them, can't you? We're doing quite well.
Yeah, I'm doing great out of it.
Yeah. Well, you don't eat anything else anyway. So, listen, ring 0117-230-1771. When the stupid old cow says, leave the message because it is us.
Yeah.
And then we'll play it out on the programme. But in the meantime, we'll try and do a different way of doing it because that's ridiculously stupid, isn't it?
The only downer is we'd have to change the number, you see, so that they've got you by the balls.
I don't wish you wouldn't use rude language like that. It just f***ing irritates me. Right, okay. We've done the music. We've sorted out the world to a certain extent. Do you want to talk about this £10 note, this new £10 note? I haven't seen one yet.
I had about three yesterday in my hands.
Yeah? Are they like the £5 note?
Exactly the same orangey sort of colour. Like the £10 note, yeah. But
Well, I think they are fantastic. You know, the other ones used to get dirty and nasty and stinky and tear. The new, and I don't give a flying about vegans either. The new £10 note, if it's as good as the £5 note, is great.
It's as good, if not better, because it's twice the value.
That's a very good point. That is a very, very a good point. New dog. Oh, I've got a new dog.
Yes, I know.
Luli. That's her name. What's her name? Luby Lou, but we call her Luli. She's sort of, she's been wandering the streets probably for a year or so.
Really?
But she's she's been found wandering the streets of North London, apparently. And been taken in, and then she'd been fostered by some people for a few weeks, and now we've adopted her, and hopefully she's in great order. She's great temperament, great personality. She's, you know, obviously a bit battered and bruised from the way she's been living, but she'll get back.
A dog like that wandering the streets of London.
Yeah, you'd think somebody'd pick it up, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And how do they live, and where do they sleep, and what? I don't know. It just breaks your heart, really, doesn't it?
You know, you have a vision of a scraggy dog, you know, walking the streets alone, not a well-groomed...
Well, you've seen some of the pictures of Luli we've put out, which she looks fine in the pictures, except she's got a great big ball patch on one side because she's been spayed, which, you know, I think all dogs need to be neutered or spayed, whichever. But all her fur has really been cut off because when they got her, it was all knotted and sticky. And,
all right.
You know, you couldn't even tell what breed she was.
I was going to say, because she looks in an amazing condition, considering.
She's all right, because she's had all her hair shaved off. Mm. And if you see it close to, you can see it's all been cut off. But it should be fun. But so why do people... Why have a dog? Why take on a dog if you don't understand... I mean, because people are thick, aren't they? I mean, we have too many stupid people and they get the vote. And do you know, a lot of stupid people have got O-levels, A-levels and university degrees. Going to university... There's this big debate on Sky recently about the cost of university and should it come down. I'm not sure it should come down. I actually think it should only be available to those people who've thought about it and really, really need to go to university. A lot of kids go there because their families say, oh, you must go to university. Oh, I must go to university, yes. And, oh, get a much better job. Well, the chances are you won't, actually. If you prove to an employer that you are really keen on doing what they do, I mean, obviously there are some jobs you need to go to university for. But there are so many thick and stupid people around, and academic education is not any kind of a barometer as to how intelligent or how wise or people are. It just isn't. I have met some of the thickest, most stupid people who are highly well academically educated.
I went to university.
Exactly my point. But I see people who treat animals as, you know, somebody must have paid a lot of money for this dog originally, I would imagine. And you know, they found, obviously just found, it may well have escaped from a garden, or could have escaped, but the dog's chipped, but no address, which is strange, isn't it? And they've not looked for it, and they haven't, you know, they haven't trawled around all the centres and, you know, the dog homes and everything else. But you would, wouldn't you? But some people just sort of say, "Off you go." I don't understand it. And if you are going to have a dog, it will change your life. Not, oh, will it be great? Will it be fun? Well, if you want to have an animal in your life, obviously. But you won't be able to go away or go out or do the stuff you do and just leave the dog at home. You can't do that. It's like having a two-year-old child. You couldn't just go out and live your life the same way you do if you have young children. I don't think people actually understand that. And the most annoying thing of all is when these stupid people get a dog. Oh, we've got to get a dog. It's good for the children. No, it's not. You know, if you get a dog and your children are too young, they will abuse the dog. They won't mean to, but they'll treat it badly, and there may be a chance the dog will turn on the children. Any kind of animal has to be treated with respect. Any kind of animal is going to be an imposition into your life. And you have to want it. And I don't think people realise that at all. Okay, sermon's over. So if you want a dog, go to a rescue centre. There are far too many dogs that nobody wants. And if you have a dog, don't breed from it. There are enough official breeders, and if you have to have a puppy and you have to have... You can still get puppies, by the way, from rescue centres. There are hundreds of them. But if you say... And people say things like, oh, well, we don't want to get a dog from rescue. We don't know how its temperament. It might have been badly treated. My experience is over the years, and I've had dogs all my life, is some dogs are good, some are not, like human beings. Most are much better temperament than human beings. And some, I can never understand, after an animal has been so badly treated by humans, it is still prepared to give humans a chance. That's what I can't, you know, a lot of you religious nutcases out there who believe you've got to do this, you've got to do that, otherwise you're not going to go to heaven. You should look at some of the animals. And of course, most religions don't like animals and don't even think animals have souls, do they?
That's true, sadly.
Yeah. And so, you know, if religious people live more like animals do in many ways, I think we'd be all a lot better off. Anyway, right, I think I've got that off my chest. Listen, you don't like what I say? I don't give a stuff, all right? I couldn't care less. And if you're one of those who thinks you can take me on, you know, why don't you email me and tell me your thoughts, jameswellradio@gmail.com. Or why don't you go on Facebook, like lots of people do, and tell me your thoughts on that. Now, here's something else, right? I thought Donald Trump's speech to the United Nations was the best thing he's done for a long time. I've been very critical, like a lot of people, of Donald Trump, and he's easy to take the piss out of. But actually, with the world going the way it is, with the stupidity of the North Koreans, the Iranians, and a number of other, you know, pathetic countries who behave appallingly, any country that makes a woman walk behind them and cover herself from head to foot is not a country that needs respect, in my view. I asked Trump at the UN, US, may have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. What are your thoughts on that? I think that North Korea needed to be told myself. Matt Larkin says, another Cold War, I'll pass. Well, I don't know that it'll be so cold, Matt. Marnie Nayer says, this is worrying indeed. When one domino falls over, more will follow. It won't be a contained situation. Hopefully, it's just more hot air from the US today. Then more hot air from the North Koreans. Marnie, I hope you're right. If it is, good. But if the North Koreans launch another missile over Japan, somebody is going to have to do something. Because let's face it, folks, if another country in anger stuck a missile over the United Kingdom, we would retaliate, would we not? John Hawkes says Trump is probably right. Anthony Hurley said it won't stop there, though, will it? Dan Saunders says, not quite like Reagan's talk about if we were invaded by an alien threat, we'd all work together. Yeah, I agree. Darren Foster says the word lunatic springs to mind. Two, the Rocket Man. I think, Darren, you're absolutely right. But Trump? Justin Richardson said innocent men, women and children all totally destroyed because Trump has no choice. Well, Justin, maybe you could tell me what choice he has if this pillock keeps on threatening and then eventually does manage to strap a nuclear warhead to one of his rockets. And for some goodness only knows what reason, he sends it over Japan. It blows up over Japan, kills loads of innocent people. Then what is going to happen? Karen says, go for it. Imposing sanctions against the despot does not harm him, only his people. If all the liberal hand-wringers over the years had sorted the psycho father, we wouldn't be discussing this now. Lee Wagner says, somebody has to have a word with Ding Dong Dell. He's a village idiot who is going to cause a war. Trump will sort him out. I don't think it's Ding Dong Dell. I think it's Kim Jong-un. Not sure who Ding Dong Dell is. Philip Heathcote says, how long do you leave North Korea to build up their weapons even more? It's a good question, Philip. I don't know. Paul Mungle says, the problem I have with this is North Korea a threat? Is North Korea a threat or just what we are being told? After all, the only country to use nuclear weapons in anger has been the USA. So which one is the real threat? Some people would agree with you, Paul. Susan Harris, about time we had a world leader like Trump. A great president doesn't namby-pamby about. And finally, Jason Crowley, if China doesn't step up and curb North Korea, it will fall onto the USA to deal with them. I think Trump's statement is a sound one. And until somebody stands up to North Korea, they will continue to destabilize the region with their aggression. So very good points. And some for, some against. But I think it's interesting that more and more people are going to see Trump as a valid president. Is that valid? Is that right?
That's correct. That's a word.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I was impressed with his speech at the United Nations. He didn't pull any punches and he didn't ad lib. I think, you know, there comes a time when you actually have to say something to people like North Korea and put them on notice. You can't carry on doing this because they're messing about and somebody will get hurt.
I feel sorry for the people of Japan who are being terrorized every time they hear that a missile's flying over their heads.
Yeah, and he you know, and nobody has he's like the playground bully. he's just carrying on, and he thinks no one will stop him. I don't want to see the people of North Korea decimated, killed. I don't want to see, because it will affect South Korea if they were to nuke North Korea. So I don't think that will happen. But I do think, you know, what happened to Iraq, which I was totally against, by the way, and was an unnecessary war. But you saw what they did to Iraq, and I think that could happen to Phnom Penh if he isn't very careful. And on that cheery note, Isn't it time for tech talk? Because I I am losing my voice.
Yeah, I can do tech talk. Rest your voice a bit. Go and put your feet up. am I going to have to put up with that all the way through?
Sorry, I'm just having a gargle.
Is that day nurse you're gargling?
No, just water. Carry on.
Okay. right.
Am I putting you off?
What?
Am I putting you off?
Yeah. It doesn't matter, though, does it really?
No. Right, carry on.
iOS 11 for your iPhone, the new operating system for Apple. It's available now, so you can download it, install it, and a lot of your apps might not work.
Well, why are you telling me? I don't have an iPhone 7.
No, it's for every iPhone. You need to check the situation by going to your settings, clicking on general, then clicking on about, and then clicking on applications, and it will tell you all the applications that will not work when you update your phone. And there's quite a few.
I need a new phone.
That won't help you with your apps, though. The app people need to go away and rewrite their code and then submit it back to the iTunes store for the apps to work.
Where does that leave my app?
Well, the thing is, I wrote it in 32-bit code a year or so ago when I first started writing it. So I'm going to have to redo the compiling, etc., and make it into 64-bit. So that's going to delay it by a few
years, probably.
Years, yeah. I'm still working on it. It's work in progress. iOS 11, I'd wait for a few weeks before you update your phone, because every time Apple brings out a new operating system, lots of problems happen, like your phone bricks or things don't work properly or your battery dies after a few hours, you know, that kind of thing. So just leave it for a while and let everyone else suffer. And if you notice that people aren't suffering, then download it.
What phone do you think I should upgrade to?
7.
7? I thought you said a 6 last time we spoke.
No, a 6 is nothing better than what you've got now. Get a 7. I phoned Coca-Cola yesterday.
You what?
I phoned Coca-Cola yesterday.
You see, I thought, because we were doing telco, I thought, iPhone Coca-Cola. Has Coca-Cola brought out an iPhone? I was trying to work that out.
No, I phoned Coca-Cola yesterday. I bought a multi-pack of Coca-Cola, and every single one of them tasted disgusting. So I phoned their 0800 hotline, and they're sending me some new Coke in the post.
How can they all taste disgusting?
I don't know. The recipe was obviously a disaster on that day. I really don't know. So, yeah, it works. Phone them. If you have a can that's a bit off, give them a call. They'll send you some fresh ones.
I would suggest nobody drinks that stuff. That's what I would suggest, but carry on.
I've tried switching to that new Pepsi Max Ginger. That's quite nice.
Oh God! I'm amazed you're still alive.
There's no sugar in that.
The food you eat and the stuff you drink, you'd be better with a glass of wine or a beer rather than that sugary stuff.
I'll leave all the alcohol up to my wife.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, moving on. Come on.
Okay. More back to tech talk. 24-hour removal target for terror pages. Theresa May.
Good.
Germany do it in 24 hours, otherwise they get fined. Theresa May has told them that it's going to be 2 hours or else.
Excellent. Or they can get fined as well.
I don't know whether we're fining, but Germany are fining. But we're saying 2 hours, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is no excuse. No excuse. When these prats go and put this stuff up online, they can be traced as well. There is just no, you know, nobody is. And any all of these organizations who are refusing to cooperate with the Secret Service, they need dealing with too.
Yeah, we can suspend their service in the country. Yeah, we can do that quite easily.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we should.
Yeah, take Facebook down for a few hours until they sort their act out, that kind of thing. Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, because they would the amount of money that would cost Facebook.
Yeah, a lot loss in advertising revenue. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Films? Do you reduce some films?
Yeah, have you seen any? I haven't seen any of the films you sent me yet, but I will. I haven't had a minute. I might do that this afternoon because I'm poorly. I'm poorly sick. I'm poorly sick.
I haven't seen any films this week.
Oh, well, I do films then.
I've seen the new Tomb Raider trailer. That looks quite good.
Are we going to do trailers I've seen and loved this week?
I was just thinking, if I have to talk about films, I'll fill it in with a trailer I've seen. Yeah, Tomb Raider trailer. Right.
Why don't you... Listen, I'll tell you what, you sent me that thing about Poundland's Nutters. Why don't you tell everybody about that, and then I can just sit back and laugh?
Oh, the Poundland have got... I would call it fake M&Ms. They've mocked up some sweets that really look like M&Ms. And you know the M&Ms round characters they have on the packets? Well, they've given them funny...
The ones who are always in bed with your wife or something.
That's the one, the ones that, yeah. The Poundland have called them Nutters because they've got peanuts inside, you know, M&M peanuts. And they've given them sort of googly eyes and, you know, funny faces and whatever. And some MP has taken exception to it, saying it's not a good image. Mental health, you know, it's not a good thing to take the piss out of.
Oh, for goodness sake.
You know, it's just a stupid
story.
Can't,
we can't all live life trying not to offend everybody. I mean, sometimes, you know, you can't, the word spastic used to be the name of a charity that helped people with cerebral palsy. And the Spastics Society did great work. And unfortunately, a few people started using it, the word spastic, as an insult. And rather than take control of the word, which I rather think they should have done, and not, you know, they changed the name. And now, you know, you use the word spastic and you will be severely criticised. I used to have, on one of my television shows, and you can probably find it, one which I did with Mike Mansfield, we did on disabled sex. And we took a guy, and I think his name was Chris. It was a long time ago. I think his name was Chris. I wonder what ever happened to Chris. He was severely disabled with cerebral palsy. And he used to have a bottle of red wine in his wheelchair with a straw. But he was incredibly eloquent. And he'd started a campaign for people who were as badly disabled as he was, to be able to get, as a human right, sex. And to, you know, he had to go to Amsterdam to get sex because it wasn't legal to go to a prostitute in this country. And we did a whole thing on it. And it started quite a debate. You know, if we spend our lives going, oh, well, that word's offensive or that's offensive, rather than actually addressing the real system behind it, we are now reaping the benefits of a generation who have to be protected from anything that might offend them. Well, God help you in the future. That's all I can say. If I hear another person say, well, we've got to have a safe space here, f*** off. Life is pretty difficult for many people, whether you're rich, poor, able-bodied or disabled, young or old. You know, life can be difficult for most people, and there will be difficulties in all our lives at some time. You'll get a disease, you'll get a bereavement. Life is like that. And rather than try and protect people from things that might upset them, the same way that they non-platform speakers at universities now, they won't have people go along if you've got a point of view that might upset the students. What a lot of bollocks.
Here.
Yeah. Anyway, we're run right out of time. I just want to do this Wales Mail.
Okay.
From David from Leicester. Hello, David. He said, I'm sending you a virtual postcard from the last place I visited. It was no holiday, though. The food was very good. Menus attached. And the last place David from Leicester visited was Leicester Hospital NHS. Freshly cooked food for you, and he sent me the menu. Minced lamb and pea curry.
Yeah.
Lamb and potato curry, beef curry, chicken tikka masala, chicken biryani, Arabic chicken, loads of curries.
It's a proper, I'm looking at it now, it's a proper menu, like you would get in a curry house.
Yeah, in a restaurant, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, if you didn't want spicy food, you can have a jacket potato with all sorts of stuff. That'd be more down your line, wouldn't it, really? You can get gooey chocolate sponge pudding, steamed raspberry jam sponge, apple crumble, sticky, toffee pudding, all sorts of stuff there. Yeah. Well, there we are. Thank you. I hope you're better now, David, as well.
Unless he was visiting.
Unless he was visiting just for the food, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're better now. And, you know, where anybody is, send us a postcard. Show us where you've been.
Yeah.
We should put this up on the website.
The picture, yeah, the menu, yeah. I mean, if you're going to be ill in Leicester.
Yeah, yeah, I do like a curry. That might do my cold some good, so I might go and do that. Right, shall we finish with questions? Because I think we're nearly running out of time, aren't we?
Yeah, let's finish with questions. We're not going to do Doctor Who being a...
No, absolutely not.
All right, here we go. I'll be seeing films, by the way, this weekend, so I'll have some for next week.
Oh, good. Well, I look forward to that. Yeah, I can hardly wait, in fact.
Sandy Jackson, do you or Rob have a theory of what life is like after death?
No, because I want it to be a really big surprise. And if, you know, you think too much about that now, you spend time not living the life that you have.
I watched a film a few months ago. I think it was something like 47 meters.
You watch a film every day.
Yeah, but not this week. 47 meters down. It's like a modern version of Jaws set underwater. And there was a scene where a woman was trying to get a flashlight a few meters away in the ocean. So she went to go and swim for it away from the shark cage that she was taking safe haven in. And when she picked up the flashlight, her friend who was still in the shark cave was calling out to her. And she turned round, but had no idea where she was. And it was all completely black with little bits of stuff in the sea floating past her. And I had this eerie feeling of, like, what if that's like when you're dead? You're just wandering around for the eternity in black, not being able to see or do anything. It was a horrible thought.
Well, some religions would have you believe that, or you would burn forever in a fiery pit. But that's a way of controlling you, I think. I think, if you want a serious answer to this, my serious answer is I don't spend any time thinking about it. It'll be a nice surprise, whatever way it goes. But I actually don't think most people will be able to get wherever you go and say, oh, this is what it's like. I think your memory would be wiped clean, maybe. Maybe your souls are reincarnated, because I've interviewed over the years some quite interesting people who've obviously... their children who've lived before, who have memories that they couldn't possibly have that have been verified. I don't know. Listen, I don't know is the answer, but I don't think you should spend too much time worrying about it. A lot of the religious people spend their entire physical lives worrying about how they're going to be in the next life. What a waste. What a total waste.
Do you remember what it was like before you were born? That's what it's like when you're dead, I think.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. And I think, you know, if you go... Uri Geller said to me once, he said, the nearest thing I can tell you is that energy, which is what human beings are full of, energy, that you can't ever get rid of energy, right?
It moves from one thing to another.
Yeah. So that the energy within a human life will move when your physical body dies. Am I right?
I can't say that you're right, but it's good theory.
Yeah, but energy does go from one thing to another, doesn't it? Energy doesn't disappear.
It might dissipate a bit.
I think. I mean, I don't know. But anyway, Uri Geller's view was that it all goes up into the ether and joins together. You're part of a collective energy, maybe a collective brain. I don't know. I don't know what happens with our souls and things, if we have a soul. What gets into, what makes us think, what makes us, you know, is it all just the gunge in our heads, or is there something more?
Food for thought there.
What you mean is it's too deep for you, that, isn't it?
It's way, way, way too deep and way above my pay grade to comment on things like this.
All right. Well, we're way over time. Let's have one more question, because I've not got much voice left.
Okay. Caroline Staff. Did you know that sand is named because it's where the sea joins the land?
What? Sand. Sea and
land.
Sand.
Sand.
Sea. Sand. No, I have to admit, I didn't know that.
So they've taken the S off the word sea and joined it to the word and. Sand. Sea and sand. Sand. Is that right?
Right, well, every day's a school day. Listen, I've got to go. I can't talk anymore, and I'm just going to go. all through the next bit.
But there isn't a next bit. This is the end of the show.
I wonder what life is like after the end of the show.
Lonely. Very lonely. He just hangs up and I stay on my own. Editing.
Well, I'll tell you what the show's going to... I'll tell you what the show's going to be like for you today. It's going to have a lot of f***ing shitty f***ing editing for you to f***ing do.
I wish I hadn't bothered doing that now.
Listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter at the James Whale. James Whale, the voice of reason.